occasionally I will have nightmares, and my nightmare is along these lines. I'm at a church. I'm sitting there. I'm getting prepared to get up and speak, and I look through my Bible for my notes, and my notes are not there. And so I'm in frantic mode by that time, so I run out of my car because I always keep some notes in my trunk in case of this ever happens. So I'm looking in my trunk for my notes, and I can't find them in there. I do find my jumper cables I hadn't seen for a while, though, so that's one good part. But I have those nightmares occasionally. So today I've officially went paperless. I brought a tablet up here with me, and I'm going to attempt to preach off this tablet this morning. So I guess my nightmares from now on will be about the battery running down while I'm up here in the pulpit preaching. So please bear with me if you see me stroking and doing things like that today. I'm trying to get my notes to work right. So it is good to be with you here this morning. Let me ask you something. Do you watch the nightly news or read the paper? Do you do that because you want to know what's going on in the Middle East? Is that where your attention's focused? You want to make sure that things in the Middle East are nice and peaceful, or are you concerned about that latest rocket that Hamas sent into a neighborhood there in Israel and knowing that Israel is going to retaliate in some way, in a very violent way, to Hamas? Do you watch those things? Do you keep up with that stuff? Personally, I don't. I guess I don't because it's been going on for so long. It's been going on for many, many years. And it's just the same thing day after day after day. But there's a lot of people that are very concerned about what takes place in the Middle East. There's a lot of modern-day prophets out there who claim that they can read the signs by what takes place in the Middle East. That these signs all point to the fact that the Antichrist is soon to come. And that means that Jesus is not far behind. And He's going to come and He's going to set up His kingdom, reign for 1,000 years, and then we'll have great battle take place. Well, this morning we're going to continue our series on apostasy, past, present, and future, as we talk about the Antichrist. Now, next week we're going to talk about the mark of the beast from Revelation chapter 13, and then we'll finish up talking about postmodernism in 2 weeks. But this morning we want to turn our attention to, of course, the Antichrist. I think if you asked 100 people walking down the street, well, who is the Antichrist? You probably would get about 100 different answers. For that question. Over the years, a lot of people have been identified as the Antichrist. A few years ago, Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. And a lot of people during the 30s and the 40s saw Hitler as this great Antichrist that's come now, and this is going to rein in eventually the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, others said, no, it's Joseph Stalin, who ruled in Russia about the same period as Hitler did. And others say, well, no, it's Charles Manson. You remember Manson? People thought he was the Antichrist. And then others believe it was Saddam Hussein. And then others have said, well, no, it's Prince Charles of England. He's the Antichrist. Others have said it's George Bergoglio, who we know as, what, Pope Francis. He's the Antichrist. 10% of Americans believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. And then a few years ago, Jerry Falwell declared this person as the Antichrist. Remember that? Well, who? Tinky Winky, something like that, of Teletubby fame, that he was the Antichrist. So what this tells me is that these folks that believe in the Antichrist, somehow or another, has not got it out. Well, exactly who is this Antichrist? If there's all this confusion about who the Antichrist is. The Antichrist and that belief really centers around the doctrine of premillennialism, or sometimes it's called dispensationalism. It is a very complex system of theology that again deals with the primary focus of Jesus returning to earth, setting up His 1,000-year reign on His kingdom on earth, and He'll sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. The temple's going to be rebuilt. There'll be this great battle of Armageddon. The Antichrist is going to be revealed. The 7 years of tribulation, the rapture, all those things, all are about this doctrine of premillennialism. And as it comes to the United States, the rapid growth of premillennialism really dates back to the late 1800s with a book called Jesus is Coming by William Blackstone. It was published in 1878. The Scofield Reference Bible is another important reference point and document for premillennialism. This was published in about 1909. And these two books remain for a period of time the definitive works on dispensationalism, until another book came on the scene in 1970. And that's the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. Maybe some of you have a copy of this. Now, on the cover of this, it sold 15 million. Well, that's dated. I have seen anywhere from 28 to 63 million copies of this book being sold. This book by Hal Lindsey. And then later on, about 1995, and it still continued about 2007, there were 16 books in the series, the Left Behind series, written by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins here, that were very popular among young people. They've made some movies out of these books. And so these books have really become the definitive works on premillennialism, dispensationalism. But let me tell you what it is said about the Antichrist here from a place that I found on the internet. It's from the Prophecy and the Ends of Times website. Here's what it says about the Antichrist. After the rapture of the church, a charismatic leader will gain a following by promising peace and security. This Antichrist heads up a 10-nation confederacy in Western Europe. Unaware of Antichrist's true identity, Israel will sign a treaty with him to guarantee its security, then rebuild its temple in Jerusalem. After 3.5 years, Antichrist will break the treaty, declare himself to be God, and persecute all who refuse to worship it and receive his mark on their foreheads. Antichrist will be helped by the false prophet, a seductive religious leader who will use miraculous powers and repressive measures to force compliance. For 3.5 years, a remnant of God's people who were converted after the rapture, Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, will suffer horrible persecution in the great tribulation. There was another man who wrote a book, and it was called World War III. And here's what he said about the Antichrist. He said he will be the prime mover in the events that will march man into World War III. Will be the Antichrist, a terrible personification of evil who will work more wholesale havoc than any other human being in the history of the world. Now that really, I think, encapsulates their belief about the Antichrist. I think that really tells us what we're talking about when a dispensationalist talks about the Antichrist. He's talking about this terrible character. This man who's going to come on the scene, and for 3.5 years, everybody's going to think he's the next best thing to sliced bread. He's going to be so praised. He's going to be wonderful. And then after the 3.5 years, he's going to turn his wrath upon Christians and make war against them. And he'll continue to do this until Jesus finally comes back and puts him in his place at the Battle of Armageddon. Well, you see how this type of belief is so prevalent. So accepted by so many people. There are elements of dispensationalism in just about every denomination that you can find, folks. This isn't just confined in one area. This spans a lot of those various denominations. Views, now they might not hold every view, but you're going to find elements of dispensationalism in just about every denomination. Now, Hal Lindsey, again, says this about the Antichrist. He says the Antichrist will come to power just before the return of Christ. And so you've got the connection with the Antichrist and the return of Christ. He also believed, and he says in his book, that according to all the signs, we are in the general time of his coming. Now, he said that in 1970. Remember this. In 1970, when Hal Lindsey published his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, he said that the signs are all aligning now that the Antichrist is soon to be revealed. And he dated when those signs began. And let me give you the date that he gave. May the 14th of 1948. That was just yesterday, wasn't it? May 14th. May 14th, 1948. Upon that day, the United Nations ratified maybe that's not the best word. The United Nations identified Israel as a state, as a country. And what Lindsey believes is that upon that day, because of their ratification or because of their acceptance of Israel as a nation now, that we start counting from 1948. And we count 40 years. And that brings us to 1988. According to Hal Lindsey, in 1988, Jesus Christ was to return to earth. I must have missed that. Because I don't remember ever hearing anything about that on the news, did you? Well, you would think that when 1988 came and Lindsey's prophecy about the return of the Antichrist and the coming of Jesus has all been shown to be false, you'd think he'd lose all credibility. No. They allowed him to recalculate his his numbers, and he came up with the year 2000. Well, 2000's come and gone, hasn't it? And again, there's no been any Antichrist, and certainly Jesus has not returned. And so now they have allowed him to recalculate his recalculations. And his date now is 2021. So, in, what, 5 years from now, according to Hal Lindsey and his calculations, Christ has returned. Again, you would think that would discredit him, but it hasn't. Because there's so much fascination with the Antichrist. There's so much out there about what's to take place during the 7 years of tribulation and the rapture and then finally the return of Jesus Christ. And they'll talk about the passages out of the book of Revelation. Folks, there is not one word in the book of Revelation that ever says anything about the Antichrist. There's not one passage out of the book of Revelation that ever speaks about the Antichrist. But that doesn't mean the Scripture does not talk about Antichrist. And to do that, we've got to go to the books of John. The books of John, I hope you've got your New Testament, because in the books of John, do we find the word Antichrist, or from the Greek Antichristos, translated Antichrist. We find it, in fact, in four different passages in the books of John. I call the little Johns. Now, what's interesting is that Hal Lindsey never once in any of his writings ever refers to 1 John or 2 John. You know why? Because if he ever did, he would refute his own beliefs. Because what John tells us in these books is all about what we need to know about Antichrist. And so this morning we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about what does John tell us about Antichrist? Well, the first thing that we're going to find out from John is that he's going to tell us the time of the Antichrist. Now again, that's a big thing for the dispensationalist. The time element. When's the Antichrist going to come? And the 3.5 years that he's going to be popular, and then the 3.5 years that he's going to wreak havoc against the church. When is that time? When is that day? Well, John tells us. Look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Hear what John says. He says, "Little children, it is the last hour, as you've heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that this is the last hour." Now, what does John say? John says this is the last hour and there will be Antichrist, doesn't he? And he also says that the last hour is when? It's right now. That's what John said. What's interesting is this expression, last hour, this is the only place in the Bible it's found. The only place that we find this last hour is found here in the book of John. Now, we find several places the expression last days. We do find that. And seemingly when the expression last days is used really in two different ways. Let me show you what I mean by that. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Peter's going to quote from Joel chapter 2. In fact, he's going to quote from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32 there. It's in that passage that Joel talks about the outpouring of the Spirit. Remember that passage? Joel says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." That's Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Well, Peter gets up and he begins his sermon on the day of Pentecost there, and he's going to quote from Joel chapter 2. But here's how he begins his sermon. He begins with this, that the Spirit shall come to pass, or in these last days. Notice that? In these last days, verse 17, that in these last days. Now, we don't see that back in the book of Joel, but Peter understood what Joel was talking about had to do with some things that are taking place in these last days. Now, I happen to believe the last days there has to refer to the destruction of Jerusalem, the days prior or before that destruction. Now, you can study that on your own, and I think you'll find out that a lot of people hold that view, that the last days that Peter's referring to are the days prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. So, last days there is used for a specific period of time. Let me show you another place that we find last days. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verses 1 and 2 there. In Hebrews chapter 1. The Hebrew writer says that God at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Listen to what he says. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Now I believe that what Hebrew writer is speaking about there maybe is more extended period of time. In fact, a lot of commentators will talk about the fact that we're living in these last days here that, the Hebrew writer speaks about, this what they sometimes call the Christian dispensation or the Christian age, that during this time Christ speaks to us. And so the point is that last days sometimes could refer to a specific point of time, and other times it might refer to a more extended point of time. In fact, if we understand the Hebrew writer correctly, we're living in the last days right now. We're living in those days as Christ speaks to us, does he not? And so, what is meant there by what John speaks about as far as the last hour? Well, John talks about things happening in this last hour. You know, Peter and Paul both spoke about apostasy during the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Apostasy is going to come." Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, "Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts." And so we've got apostasy, we've got false doctrine being taught during the last days. Well, are the last days and the last hour of John the same thing? Really, that's the question, isn't it? A man by the name of Roy Lanier wrote a commentary on 1 John several years ago, and his conclusion was the last hour of 1 John chapter 2 was a specific period of time. That John was pointing to a specific time during that day and age where these antichrists will be revealed. Well, Vines, in his dictionary, says the last hour and the last days are one and the same. And he bases his argument on the fact that in the Greek, there's no "the" before last hour in the book of John. He just says the last hour, not the last hour. And so that last hour, according to Vines and others, is an extended period of time that began in the first century, as John says, the Antichrist are being revealed then, and even extends to the century of today, the 21st century. Now, if that's so, what's that say about the doctrine of the Antichrist to be revealed still in the future, and that we really don't know who it is now? We're going to talk about the identity of it here in a few minutes. But how about the time? You know, if the premillennialists tell us, well, the Antichrist hasn't come yet, he's still in the future somewhere. Well, how do you justify their belief, what John says here, that we've got Antichrist right now? You see what I'm getting at? Perhaps that's why Hal Lindsey never referred to 1 John as he talked about the Antichrist in his book. We've got the time factor there, don't we? We also have the number of Antichrist. Now, again, the premillennialists believe that there will be one Antichrist. He will be the Antichrist, that one man, that one person, even though they can't seem to agree on who that is. But that one person will be the Antichrist, and he'll lead the forces of evil against the forces of good in the Battle of Armageddon. And Lindsey says, of course, that Antichrist is living today. Well, John said that the Antichrists were living during his day. Go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. What does John say? Even now many Antichrists have come. Well, he's talking about what's taking place right then. Flip over your Bible to 2 John verse 7. 2 John verse 7. Look what he says in that passage. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ has come into the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So what John speaks of there is these antichrists operating right now, aren't they? He wasn't looking off into the future somewhere, 2,000 years and counting. He said, we've got them right now. We've got them right here. These deceivers, these antichrists are operating right now. This may be a good time to stop and say something about what Jesus talks about over Matthew chapter 25. I'm sorry, chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, Christ speaks about false Christ. Remember that passage? Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 there. Jesus, in a long discussion about the events that would transpire before the destruction of Jerusalem, before the destroying of the temple. That was on the minds of the apostles when they came to Christ with the question there in those verses. And Jesus said, well, now here's all the things that's going to happen. But look at verse 24. He says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, the corresponding passage in Mark chapter 13, verse 22. So Jesus speaks about false Christ, someone who pronounces himself to be a Savior, someone who says, hey, put your faith and trust in me, and I'll lead you out of this bad situation. Well, in Acts chapter 5, Gamaliel gives us the name of two people, I believe, that were false Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 35 and following, Gamaliel stands before the Sanhedrin. And the question is, well, what are we to do with these apostles? And his conclusion was, just leave them alone. You know, if who they're proposing, this Jesus Christ, if he's from God, we can't fight against him. If he's just a man, well, things are going to fall apart one of these days, and everybody's going to go back home. And he gives two examples of two people that came on the scene claiming to be somebody. Verse 35. And he said, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. And he talks about how he led folks away. Verse 37. After this, is a man by the name of Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. They were false Christs. John talks about antichrists. Are they one and the same? Well, you know, in a sense they could be, because of the definition of the word anti. Here's the definition of the word anti. Anti could mean someone who opposes Christ. You know, he's anti-Christ, and we understand that. And normally, when we think about anti-Christ, we think about somebody, he's just against Jesus, he's against Christ. But also a definition of anti is this, someone who comes in the place of Christ. False Christ, you see? False Christ. And so when we think about anti-Christ, we could also think about false Christ. Is that whom John is describing here in these books, these false Christs, as he uses the word antichrist? Well, it could be. But I think really what John is speaking about here is about some specific people who had claimed to have been somebody special in the church. In fact, look at verse 19 of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. What does John say about these folks here, these antichrists, in that passage? He said they went out from us, but they were not of us. They claimed to be us, and that us might have been the apostles, or might have just been Christian. They came from us, they claimed to be from us, but you know, really by what they teach and what they do, they're not from us. They're antichrist. Well, who are these people? Now again, the big thing about dispensationalism is trying to identify the antichrist. And that's why we have so much confusion about who he is. That's why when I gave you all these various people's pictures, you know, and that can be multiplied 1,000 times over. Seems like anytime anybody comes on the scene and he might have a falling for a period of time or might get a lot of recognition, well, that's the antichrist. Well, who is he? Well, what are they? Well, John tells us, doesn't he? 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. John says he is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. All right, there's an antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 now. 4, verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. What other place? Back to 2 John 7. 2 John 7. Who do not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. Now, what has John just done for us? Has he just not identified Antichrist? Has he not done that for us? As someone who denies that Jesus has come in the flesh, denies him as the Son, has not John just identified for us the Antichrist? But could John be very specific in these descriptions of the Antichrist as he speaks about perhaps a group of people that were operating at that time? quite possibly was. I think we've spoken from this pulpit from time to time about Gnosticism. Let me just refer and remind you what that means. Gnosticism was a belief that began in the first century, but really wasn't full-blown until the second century. Gnosticism said this, that all things spiritual are wholly good, and all things physical are wholly evil. Because God is spirit, He is unable to have contact with physical matter, because matter, of course, is evil. Now, how does that affect Jesus Christ? If spirit is all good and the physical is all evil, then what do we do with Jesus? Because we believe the Bible teaches that Jesus is both, don't we? That He was God and man. Well, the Gnosticist said, well, He had to be either one or the other. If He was all divine, then He wasn't really a man. He might have looked like a man. He might have talked like a man, but He was just a ghost. He was a phantom, they would talk about. On the other hand, He might have not been divine if He was physical. If Jesus was physical, that means He wasn't God. He wasn't divine, you see. So Gnosticism was a very dangerous doctrine that John was dealing with. And I think perhaps that's exactly what he was dealing with here in these books. Gnosticism, the early seeds of that. John says if you hold those beliefs, you are anti-Christ. Exactly. Because that's not Christ, is it? The whole belief such as that. But when you look at what John and how he describes Antichrist, and you compare that with the dispensationalists, see how off they are here. John says that there are many antichrists. He uses the plural form in one of the verses there, many antichrists. The dispensationalists believe there's only going to be one antichrist, that one antichrist, and that's it. John says the antichrists were operating during his day and age. The dispensationalist tells, well, now he's going to be revealed later, you know, and that'll begin the 7 years of tribulation. John says the antichrists were false teachers who came from them. And I would associate that with the church. They came out of the church. The antichrist, according to the dispensationalist, he's not going to be he might be recognized as somebody who's religious, perhaps, but he's not going to be a church member, certainly. And John says that anyone who is an antichrist is someone who denies the truth about Jesus Christ. And that would certainly include the Gnostics. But should we limit that only to the Gnostics? Antichrist. Think about that for a moment. Yes, if you believe that Jesus was a phantom and that He wasn't really a man, that would be antichrist. If you believe Jesus was wholly physical and just a man, He wasn't God, then that would be antichrist, wouldn't it? But how about those like Herod who tried to kill the Christ child upon His birth? Was he not antichrist? Think about that. How about the Pharisees who would oppose Jesus and His teaching at every opportunity they got? Were they not anti-Christ? Or those people on the day that Christ stood before them and they shouted out, "Crucify Him," were they not anti-Christ? Yeah, I think so. I think so. But let me ask you this. What if someone today teaches that Jesus was created and He's a lesser God? Is that not being an antichrist? You know, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. Or someone who cannot distinguish between the Father and the Son as separate persons from the Godhead, like the Oneness Pentecostals. Are they not antichrist in that? Or how about a religion that claims a man who sits in Rome is the vicar of Christ and has the authority of God Himself on this earth? Is that not antichrist? Absolutely. But how about somebody who refuses to name Jesus Christ as the Son of God and sits week after week in their sins? Is not that not an antichrist? Jesus Himself says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who is not together with me is scattered abroad." see Antichrist can be among us. Can be among us this morning. If we refuse to accept Christ as the Son of God. Well, I hope maybe this will help you in your own studies of this topic. Dispensationalism is a very complex, like I said, a very complex theology. It is a very dangerous theology. Just don't get caught up in some way. Someone this morning needs to become a Christian. We're offered the invitation this time. Stop being an Antichrist and being of Christ this morning. We can help you do that. Make that known to us now as we stand and we sing this song.